This is the podcast for JNS Spine. Welcome to the November 9, 2012 podcast from Journal of Neurosurgery Spine. I'm Natalie Pinchem. I will be reading synopses of some of the articles published today. The topics of the articles featured in this podcast are surgical technique, the cervical spine, and occult tethered cord syndrome. Use of prone position magnetic resonance imaging for detecting the terminal phylum in patients with occult tethered cord syndrome. A clinical article by Kazuyoshi Nakanishi and colleagues. The pathophysiology of occult tethered cord syndrome, with no anatomical evidence of a caudally shifted conus and a normal terminal phylum, is hard to understand. Therefore, the diagnosis of occult tethered cord syndrome is often difficult. Recently, a decreased elasticity within the terminal phylum was demonstrated on histological examination. Thus, the authors examined prone position T2 weighted axial MRI studies obtained in 14 patients, as well as in 12 control individuals. They investigated the terminal phylum and cauda equina. On the prone MRI studies, the terminal phylum was separated from the cauda equina and was shifted caudally to posterior, significantly in the subarachnoid space, in all patients. In contrast, the locations of the caudal cauda equina shifted to anterior significantly in the subarachnoid space. The arrangement appeared as a sunrise on axial MRI studies. These results suggest a difference in elasticity between the terminal phylum and cauda equina in patients with occult terminal phylum syndrome. Since the author's new method of the prone position MRI is simple and non-invasive, they state that this method should be considered when a patient presents with clinical symptoms or signs of occult tethered cord syndrome, and it may prove helpful in the diagnosis or surgical indication. Prospective study of disc repair with allogenic chondrocytes. A clinical article by Domagoj Koric and co-authors. The purpose of this study was to evaluate the safety and initial efficacy of Nu.Q allogenic juvenile chondrocytes delivered percutaneously for the treatment of mechanical low back pain due to lumbar degenerative disc disease. This is the first clinical report of the results from a U.S. investigational new drug study of cell therapy in disc repair. 15 patients were treated with a single percutaneous delivery of Nu.Q juvenile chondrocytes. The mean patient age was 40 years. Each treatment consisted of an injection of 1 to 2 milliliters with 10 million cells per milliliter of juvenile chondrocytes with fibrin carrier. The treatment time ranged from 5 to 33 seconds. The results of this prospective study are promising. Preliminary safety was demonstrated, and clinical results were encouraging, with statistically significant improvements in Oswestry Disability Index, numerical rating scale, and 36-item short-form health survey scores. The majority of radiographic parameters were unchanged. However, there was improvement in 10 of 13 patients who underwent imaging at 6 months and in 8 of 13 patients who underwent imaging at 12 months. The authors state that further investigation with a prospective, randomized, blinded, placebo-controlled study is necessary and warranted. Prospective randomized study of cervical arthroplasty and anterior cervical discectomy and fusion with long-term follow-up. Results in 74 patients from a single site. a clinical article by Domagoj Kurek and co-workers. The purpose of this study was to evaluate the long-term results of cervical total disc replacement and anterior cervical discectomy and fusion, known as ACDF, in the treatment of single-level cervical radiculopathy. ACDF is a well-established arthrodesis procedure with over 6 decades of documented clinical results. But despite its long clinical history and widespread utilization, there is a relative paucity of prospective data with long-term results documenting the efficacy of ACDF. Cervical total disc replacement is a relatively novel, motion-preserving procedure with promising results from numerous clinical reports with short-term and intermediate-term follow-up. Patients were from a single investigational site and from 2 separate prospective randomized US FDA trials for the Bryan disc and Kineflex C disc. Patients were combined to evaluate outcomes at long-term follow-up. Both the cervical total disc replacement and the ACDF groups showed excellent clinical outcomes that were maintained over long-term follow-up, which averaged 6 years. Both groups showed low index level and adjacent level reoperation rates. The rate of adjacent level disease in ACDF, as reflected by adjacent level reoperations, was lower than in previously reported retrospective series. Both cervical total disc replacement and ACDF were found to be viable options for the treatment of single-level cervical radiculopathy. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter, and please like us on Facebook at Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group.